Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Ain't forgot her yet, but I keep on moving. I keep moving down the line. Ain't nothing in my mirror, just a cloud, dust, and smoke. What do you expect if some old trucker's heart gets broke? Yeah, trucker's heart gets broke. But them big wheels of rubber gonna rubber off my mind. Well, I'm a highway junkie and I need that old white ride. 10 miles out of Nashville, I was doing 101. State boy pulled me over, he said, "Where's the fire, son?" Yeah, where's the fire, son? Man, there ain't no fire, I'm just running from a flame. So go on a ride for ticket, man, but I ain't the one to blame. That county judge tried to rob me blind. But them big wheels of rubber gonna rubber off my mind. Well, I'm a highway junkie and I need that old white ride. Roger Miller grabbed the phone. He said, "Drive that 18-wheeler, boy. You're the king of the road."
Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're live here. It's weekday at 7 p.m. Every weekday, 7 p.m., you can call in 515-602-9731. Thank one of our great sponsors at DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at DPF Regeneration or give them a call at 800. Come on now. There you go, 800-634-3010. Appreciate all their support. Like I said, DPF Regeneration. That's dpfregeneration.com. Appreciate all their support. So, a lot of things going on out there today. You know, one of the things that we shared actually on Friday, I thought was interesting, was a commenting period that was, we shared it on our Facebook page and also Twitter, I believe, but it was funny because it was a truck driver, an independent owner operator. I think he's independent. But he's actually asked for an exemption, a personal exemption from the hours of service. And it's actually in there. If you go to regulations.gov, it's on there. You know, in fact, I'm going to search it. Let's see here. I'm going to do H. Actually, you know what? Let's do hours of service personal exemption. And minimum wage study. Yeah. So it's going to be in a proposed rule, and we haven't got it actually up here. Let's see. Exemption applications concerning use of commercial motor vehicles doesn't have that on there. But you got to go back. I'll see. Let's do, just put add the year to it. if that does anything. And a lot of times when the year is in there, we can do it. But I wanted to get it pulled up. I wanted to go through it. We'll get it on our Facebook page. But actually, the driver has been saying, hey, this, the hours of service, the 11 hours of driving, 10 hours of rest, 70 hours in a work week, 14 hours on duty, you know, time rule, it all conflicts with his sleep habits. And he wants a personal exemption. And there's actually commenting, and you can actually go make comments. So I thought that was really neat. So I think I would like to see a lot of drivers make comments. I don't know about y'all. If y'all think that's right, I mean, let me know. But it's really interesting. Other than that, I was talking to actually a couple of managers at some truck stops. So I go to this truck stop every other night or every night. I mean, I'm there probably four. You know, I work 5 days a week, and I'm there probably four nights out of the five that I'm there. And a lot of times, half the pumps would be broke. Like, they would have the cone or the trash can in front of them blocking them. And we know we see that a lot. We see the trash cans in front of the pumps blocking them off. And a lot of times we see the problem. It's missing a pump because the driver forgot to unhook his pump from his truck when he topped off one side. He locked it up and then forgot the passenger side or whatever and then drove off, and now the pump's broke. So we see that a lot, right? A lot of times we don't understand. We see that there's nothing wrong, that nothing appears to be wrong. Maybe it's the computer screwing up. And yeah, you know what? That's right. The computer's probably screwing up. But the reason why the computer screws up is the trigger thing that I wanted to mention. And I asked the manager, you know, how come it's always, you guys have always got this? And he's like, well, we're more remote and we're a big chain. It's a Flying J. And we are like one of the biggest targets for the scams. And what they do is either they'll take a machine, some type of computer, and they'll plug it in. Like, I don't know. I mean, and I said, you know what? I see it. You know how the doors of the pump, you know, the big diesel pumps, they've got it, the panel, it just like swings open where they can reload the paper and the receipt thing and all that, right? Well, a lot of times it's busted or it's loose or it's been bent or something. And that's the reason. They break that open. And they bend it, and they put some type of device and plug some device up in there where it reads the credit card information, even the COM data cards and all that. It gets all that because you're punching in. It also records when you punch in the numbers on the machine. And what happens is that when they go to refill the papers, they find them. And when they find them, they pretty much have to shut the pump down until they can get the technical guy out there to reset everything. And it's really complicated, especially when a lot of times what they'll do is they'll even upload, they'll change the coding, the programming on the pump, and it records stuff so that then they can go back later and download it. So it's a big thing, especially in the remote area. He said we get emails constantly about the remote areas being involved in those scams, where it's all it's doing is recording your information. So when you talk about like getting your information stolen, it's people cruising up to the gas pumps and recording card numbers, codes, driver codes, stuff like that, and they do that a lot out in the, especially in the remote areas. So I asked him. I said, well, you know, I'm getting fuel here quite often, and I use the app. And he said, that's the best way. The best way is to, because nowadays all of the major chains have it where you can start the pump from the app, and you can save your information into the app where you don't have to keep entering it, right? You just pull it up and you verify, is this the truck number, is this the driver code, is this all the information you need? You need anything else? You need us to do anything? And then it turns it on. It gives you a little code. You punch the code in the pump, or you tell it what pump number or whatever, and it does everything through the internet. And he says that is the best, most secure way to start your pumps these days, because they're in it everywhere. I mean, it's not even, he says, it's not even a question of who, it's just, you know, when, because they're all vulnerable, because he said it's really hard for the companies to spend a lot of money on securing it. They can secure it, but not at the pump, not when you're actually scanning the card at the pump, because they're going there and doing it. You know, hacking the system is one thing, but actually getting into the pump, that's easier, and that's what they do. So I thought that was interesting, and I just thought I'd mention it to everybody out here. I've tried to pull up any kind of articles or anything like that. I haven't found anything yet, but I'll keep my eyes peeled for that kind of stuff. It's a thing you just don't know. you know. So so you never know. But other than that, let's see, what else were you looking at? Oh, yeah, I was going to keep finding my, let's see, go into the Redneck and I's Facebook page. And then we'll pull up that link that has talking about the exemptions. And they're still having the comment period open for the speed limiters. And, of course, we know that's a bunch of crock because, you know, I just thought of something. I don't know. Anybody out there has anything to say about it, you know, let me know. But I thought the proposed rule was like, okay, write out the rule and then say, okay, this is what the rule is going to be. Let us know what you think. Well, they don't even have the full rule. We don't even know what the limit is going to be. So how do we know what the rule is? We don't even know what the full rule is. Well, like, is it going to be 65, going to be 70, going to be 60? We don't know. Nobody knows. You know, is there going to be any kind of exemptions? No, we don't know. We don't know. You know, so all that's a bunch of crock. You know, they don't care. I found it on here. It's the CDLLife.com trucker files request for personal exemption, hours of service. And he put everything down in here. And if you click on the request, it'll pull it up and it says exemption application. Okay, there it is. And view more documents. It says two, and it says comment, but it doesn't allow you to read the comments. It doesn't list them. If you click on comment, you can make a comment, but it won't let you see the other comments. And it hasn't really said if there's anything else made. It says more documents too. You click on that, and it's the exemption application. Yeah, then it's the request. So exemption request, and it's, I guess, the actual form that got filed is what that is. But I was going to check to see if anybody had made comments, but it doesn't let you see who made comments. So that's the way that goes. Let's see, go back one more. But, yeah, so that's the crazy thing. So what do you guys got going on out there? Let me know, 515-602-9731. We're going to hit the phones here. I think I got our tried and true. This Greg, what's up?
Yeah, the proposal. The proposal. Don't know what's in the proposal. It's in there. Come on, man. You know, the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got
to sign it to see what's in it.
Yeah. It's the thing. The that stuff.
The thing.
Yeah.
Saint Nancy said, you have to sign the bill to see what's in it. What a crock.
Yeah, right. It's not even, you know, they even put in there for vehicles that have an ECM that's 26,000 pounds. They don't even say like a year because we know, I mean, all the older trucks had ECMs in them. They just didn't have the ECMs capable of, you know, I don't know. Maybe they want to go back further. Maybe they do, you know. Hey, and just like you're saying before, you know, let's see who's all walking the walk and talking the talk because everybody says they're gonna hang it up. So let's see.
Yeah, that's what I said. I hope they do it. I know everybody's going to disagree, like I said, but let them do it. Because let's see how many of these loud mouths actually do what they say they're going to do.
Right.
You know, it's going to be just like it was with everything else. Every time e-logs, everything, hours of service, they start that, nope, I quit. I'm done. I'm going to hang it up. Nope, they're still out here doing it. And if they do it, they're going to keep doing it. And they'll keep bitching just like they are now. You know, they'll keep on driving, but they'll keep on bitching. I don't know. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Everybody always says it. You know, when they change the rules, I'm going to get out and everything. And I remember one driver talking about it, how the driver shortage is attributed to this and everything. And I don't think that's the case. I think that a lot of drivers retire. We had a baby boom generation of truck drivers that just really was out there running their asses off, and they're retiring. They're getting out of it. And there's just not as many drivers as there was because of that. But, I mean, it all boils down to it's easier to get another crappy job. It's not, you know, truck driving used to be hard. It ain't that hard anymore. I don't know. It used to be hard to get a CDL, I'll tell you that.
You know what? I delivered into one of Averett's warehouses this morning.
Okay.
One up in Franklin, Kentucky. They got a little warehouse up there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I brought that load. I was going to go home this weekend, but I didn't tell them I was going home, so I got stuck out this weekend. But anyhow, I got up there. I laid over at Franklin all weekend from Friday evening to this morning, 9 o'clock. I went over at 8:30, went in, checked in. And guy wouldn't. They had a little buzzer on the door, you know. I buzzed the buzzer. Nobody came. Friday, one of their local drivers, you know, their shuttle drivers, he comes up and he says, "What the hell?" He said, "You ring the buzzer?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Nobody come?" I said, "No." He said, "I'm asked." So
yeah.
He walked up there and punched his code in. He opened the door. He said, "Come on in there." So I walked in, and the guy come around there. He said, "How come you ain't, didn't answer the door for this guy?" So I didn't hear him out there. He said, "Damn buzzer's still going off, and you can't hear it?" So anyhow, he says, "You got my trailer loaded?" "No, we're working on your trailer right now." He said, "Look." He said, "I'm on the clock." He said, "Let's get going. I got to go." I'm thinking, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Piss him off. So he looks at me and he said, "What do you got?" And I said, "I got a delivery." I said, 9 o'clock appointment. I said, "Stuff I brought out of Georgia down there." He says, "Oh, my God." He said, "I told them to quit sending this shit up here." He said, "We've got this stuff stacked clear to the ceiling back here." He said, "I ain't got no room to put it." I said, "Hey, don't shoot the messenger, man. I just brought it up here. They told me to bring it here. It's here." No, I ain't blaming you, but this is ridiculous.
I tell them all the time, all you got to do is refuse it. All you got to do is refuse it. Ain't no skin off my turkey.
Well, you know, I don't give a damn. You know, I don't know what his deal was. They killed me in there. They want to sit there and scream about it. It don't make any difference. Put it somewhere. You can pay by the hour. Sit in the highway back here. Yo, when management comes in once in a while, sitting in the highway, so what the hell, you know, where else was I supposed to put it?
Right.
Yo, why are you going to make a big deal out of it and act like it's, you know, make a major deal out of it, you know? You get paid by the hour. Just take the stuff off and set it in the floor in there. Sign the bills and send them on their way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yo, if it gets to be a problem, you know, call management. Tell them about it. Yo, whatever.
Right.
I'm thinking,
right.
You know, these company drivers, man, it's unbelievable.
Speaking of company drivers, let's see who this is right here. This is one of them company drivers out of Arizona?
No, that's it.
No,
that's
another
it.
Company.
That's
not,
it.
Not this week. We're owner-operator this week.
Yeah, that's it. Dump truck driver, whichever.
Yeah, dumb truck driver.
He went from a dump truck driver last week.
Makes him good money.
Yeah.
He went from a dump truck driver last week to a dump truck driver this week.
Yep. That's it. Going from a company driver pulling in dump to a owner operator. That's about the same right there. That is the same.
Yeah.
Because how smart he is. Anybody go to Montana?
Yeah. Cool deal.
Hey,
so,
I'm going where it's cool.
Right. Well, our other good hands calling in too. Let's get him on here too. That's what's going on there?
I have a 2020 Freightliner for sale. Anybody want to buy it? I'm looking for a buyer.
I don't want to know damn plastic truck.
I don't know, Jeff, but I'm about on the same boat you are. I'm about just about ready to hang it up, man. Liquidate my assets and say that's enough.
I told my boss the other day, I said, you know, fuel prices, they're talking about $10 a gallon. They're talking about putting speed limiters on the truck. And you've got me shitty freight where I'm sitting all weekend. I says, you know, I see trucks like mine in the truck paper for $250,000. I says, you know, if I can sell mine for $250,000, I could retire on a quarter of a million. Until I'm another 5-6 years, I'll be in full Social Security benefits. So why in the fuck am I here busting my ass now when I got a truck that's supposed to be worth all this money? I might as well sell and live off the truck that way I'm just sick and tired of these fucking roads that are bumpy and bullshitty and four-wheelers that cut you off, and I'm just, like, pissed.
Hey, Jeff. Jeff. Why you gotta be so angry? Why you gotta be so angry?
I don't know. I thought this was the Anger Management Channel. I thought I'd call in and get some help.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
See, what you fail to realize, they got all these trucks. You see all these trucks sitting around. I see 88s, 85s, 89 models. Yo, trucks. Yo, back 1988, 89, I see them sitting around 240, 250,000. 185,000.
Yeah.
I see these trucks out there, Joe. But you got to ask yourself. You see them out there.
Mine's all ready for a speed limiter.
They're asking that for them. But how many of them are actually selling them for that?
Yeah.
I see them all the time, and I see what the prices are asking, but I don't see any of them on there that says sold.
Right. Well,
Freightliner told me they. Freightliner said they can't get any in. They're not even, they're starting to look at producing electric trucks and not any more diesels. So I don't know. I said, man, if that's what this world's coming to, is fucking electric trucks, speed limiters, and all that other bullshit, then.
They're going to start that shit. I hope I can stick around a little more because I'm gonna sell my trailer. I'm going to go put a fucker on. I'm gonna go put a record boom on the back of this. I'm gonna make my turn mine into a recovery truck. I'm gonna put a tow boom on the back of it because I'm gonna start dragging them electric trucks in with my diesel engine.
Hmm.
There you go.
I'm gonna get one of the big stickers of Biden pointing to the gas. I'm gonna get one put on the side of my truck, pointing back at the truck, and it's gonna say I did that. I did that. That's why that truck's on the hook.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so you're talking about selling the trucks. You know, Fox Business actually had a report saying that a lot of these large corporations, like Swifts and Schneiders and all them, they actually made a profit that was in tough times when, 2020 and 2021, they actually turned a profit because they sold all their trucks because their used trucks were so expensive. They sold them. And actually sold them for a good amount of money, and made a lot of money that way. So people are buying them. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's them immigrants that get all that Biden money because they came off the boat and they say, oh, yeah, you want a job?
I don't know.
So.
Truck Papers got my truck there for $250,000 advertised right now. Hell, I already paid $184,000. I make a profit. And have enough money to live on for about 10 years.
Yep.
With Bidenomics, it's going to take $250,000 to live anymore.
Hmm. Oh, that's something else.
But
I think I'm going to sell mine to get me a dump truck and go out and haul cow shit in to put in people's gardens like I did mine this year.
What'd you guys think of that video, that truck driver telling Biden how good he's driving this country into the ground.
I saw the video. I tried to share it. I couldn't.
A year ago.
Yeah.
Well, a year ago?
That's been on there for about a year. Yeah, it's been on there for a year or so ago. That's when he done that. He went out there. It's photoshopped. I mean, he didn't really say that, but it is funny. It is cute. I'd love to see somebody do that. But he went out to Mac out there in Allentown.
Yeah, and that was
he was telling the story
about him being a truck driver out there in Pennsylvania when he was
Oh
yeah,
he can't even spell
Biden
truck
was a truck driver.
Yeah, he claimed that he was a truck driver. Yeah, he claimed that he was out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Big Maud or somebody. I think somebody told him the story about Pee Wee Herman hitching a ride down to Texas, and told him about that ghost trucker that Pee Wee Herman hitched a ride from, because that's what he said. He said Big Maud, which was the lady that played that character. And so, yeah, pretty stupid. It was, yeah, he's, you
he
can
must,
tell he was.
He must have had an accident and hit his head, and that's the problem. I don't know.
That was a long time ago. But, seems like that for a guy, I guess when you're 80 years old, you can pretty much say that you've done everything, because there's a lot of years to cover there. But, I mean, we all know that he's been a politician for, 45 of those years. So,
45 or 47 years, he ain't done shit while he was a politician.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell he could have possibly done.
He's done plenty, man. Don't say that. He's made himself and his family very wealthy. That is
yeah.
something to be commended about.
Yeah, he's still doing it, too. He's selling the country
oh, yeah.
out.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if y'all saw it on there. Bro. Fox Nation, the Fox News app, Fox Nation, it's they've got a documentary series. Like it's like 4 or 5 episodes of the whole Hunter Biden situation, and it's really, really good. It's, I mean, like he even wrote in his own book, because, you know, of course he's making money, but he wrote in his own book that he was like locked up in hotel rooms for like 2 weeks to 2 months at a time, and all he was doing was, you know, buying drugs and buying hookers the whole time he was there, locked up in his hotel room.
How in the hell is he still walking the street?
Hey, because, you know,
if that was anybody else,
man, even
trying
oh, yeah.
to hide it, they'd have you in jail. And he goes
oh,
right
yeah.
out the open and tells it, they don't investigate it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, now he's making money off selling paintings to Russians and Chinese people are buying his paintings.
I just
say, so
it's like on the January 6th hearings that they're having right now every day. On that January 6th shit, they're still trying to hang Trump.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got more coverage. They got more coverage on Johnny Depp and Heard than what they got for Trump and shit. You know, that's crazy.
What do you call this one comedian? He had some stuff about Johnny Depp and everything. It was he was talking about how when you go pull up this website, I forgot what it's called, but it's a website that gives you kind of hints. And when you're traveling to other countries, here's the kind of customs you should be looking out for. And the things that people do in these countries, you shouldn't be shocked or surprised or anything like that. So he says they have them for America when you come to America. And one of the things is most of the 5-star hotels in the United States, they leave a chocolate on your pillow when they make your room. And trust me, that has nothing to do with Amber Heard.
Shit.
I don't know, but God dang. Lock me in a hotel room and bring me hookers all day long. I'd be a happier camper.
You and probably 80% of all truck drivers out there, buddy.
Shit, Jeff, at your age, you'd be dead in an hour.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, I'd be lucky to get it up.
Well, you die happy.
Next question. I'm out, baby. I'm out.
All you'd have to do is hope to hell you died before the diseases set in.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So I do have a question. I was going to ask a question. I get both of the mechanics on here and ask. And maybe, Jeff, maybe you know too. But I had a really run into down here with getting some car parts. And I had a friend of mine went to the store, to like AutoZone or O'Reilly's or whatever, and they got a battery, and they ended up paying like $180 for this battery for this car, and it's a little old Honda Accord or whatever, and it was like they said it's $400 for a new alternator. They say I need to do a new alternator, and I paid $180 for this battery, and I said, well, don't hook the $180 battery to the bad alternator, then you're gonna need another battery. But then I said, well, that's $400 for an alternator. That's pretty high. So I went on the internet and all that. And, of course, I see them on there where there's used ones for like $50 or $60. And there's other remanufactured ones that are like for $100. And I'm like, why is this auto parts store telling that it's $400 for an alternator? And then I went on Walmart, and the battery that they needed, it was only $50 at Walmart. So what I'm asking is that, I mean, do we see this a lot with car parts where you could see a major shift in price like that from one manufacturer to the other?
You're going to have that shift of price because of, you know, the Chinese making half-assed stuff. But some of these newer cars, now have a load sensor in that alternator, and you have to reprogram it. Just like some of these windshields. I don't know if you've seen commercials on SafeLight where they have to reprogram the windshield for the car.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
of the safety and all that other BS that's in it. But some of these cars now, starters, alternators, anything electronic throughout the vehicle, AC compressors, anything accessory drive is load sensing to the ECM.
Here's another crazy thing about alternators. Buddy, my brother-in-law bought a new... Well, bought a new Ram pickup truck, and the alternator is also a motor that supplies additional power to the drivetrain. Now, I bet that alternator ain't going to be cheap, but it says right in the book the alternator is also a motor.
Yeah,
that
so
drives the.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the hybrid part of the.
Find out what they cost.
Well, I remember back in the day where you would go into a local auto parts store anywhere, and you would give them the what you needed, and they would pull up a list of alternators, and the guy would say, I got one for, you know, 75, I got another one for 95, and I got another one for 125. And really it's all about, like you saying, whoever's making the knockoff or the higher quality,
yep.
Whether it's, you know, built in the USA or built in China and all that. But from 400 to 100, I just like, man, that's crazy. I guess maybe that's just the way it is these days. But I remember I got.
Well, the online guys are buying bulk.
Yeah,
so they get
a
price break that way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think the brick and mortars are taking it hard on the chin with the prices that they can't break that price. You know, you see that a lot.
Brick and mortars have got to pay more hourly for their employees even to get them to come to work now.
Yeah.
So that all reflects back on the price of the stuff.
Well, but also know that if you walk in there and you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're looking for, then they might even try to jack up the price on you there. I mean, it's kind of like they can tell you, well, that's what I got. You know, I don't have anything cheaper. When they really do have something cheaper, they just won't tell you. You know?
Well, I'm sure Robbie and Greg could agree with this. I go to Freightliner dealerships when I want to buy something, and they give me one price. I said, oh, come on. You know as well as I do, there's another price you can sell to me cheaper, and it'll come right back at me about $50 less.
Oh,
every
wow.
time almost.
Wow.
Yep.
That's something. Because I know that if you're an owner operator leased to one of those bigger carriers, if you tell them that you're leased on to Schneider or somebody like that, they always got some kind of discount. You know, through
you normally get it like cost plus 10 or something like that.
Exactly. Yep.
Next time you go to Freightliner, Jeff, and they tell you that price on that, instead of standard dicker with them, say, you know what, never mind. I'll just go straight to Detroit and get it. I can get it cheaper over in Detroit, right straight through Detroit if it's an engine part.
Yeah.
If it's not Freightliner specific, just tell them, I'll just go to Detroit. You watch the price of it come down.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you telling them, I can get that on Amazon and watch the price come down?
Oh, yeah. No, I priced an air breather for my truck at Love's, okay? And at Lowe's, it was $160. I go to Freightliner. He says, $120. I said, I can get it cheaper than that, you know, another place. Well, I can let you have it for $98. I go, okay, I'll take it.
Yep.
Then why the hell did you do that to start with instead of spending your having this debate?
What?
Well, because there's these ding-a-lings that'll walk in and pay full money.
I wanted to
mention
companies. What? Companies what?
Company trucks. Company truck pulls in there and they give them that stupid price. They don't even argue with it. They don't even
question
it.
You're right.
No.
Pay it, get
right.
the truck on the road.
Yeah, you're right about
owner
that.
Owner operator will come in there and argue with them a little bit.
I mean, hell, the Flying J's and the pilots, they make $100 a pop every time a Schneider trailer comes in there and misses an impact. So, you know.
Like Robbie. For instance, Robbie. Last time you was up at the house for that wheel seal, remember? You stopped in there with that wheel seal out. What did they say? Oh, we're going to take it apart. Then we got to mic the axle. And if the axle spindles is wore in, now you're going to have to get an axle surgeon in. They're going to have to put a new stub on the end of your axle. Then you're going to have to put all new bearings and everything in. Just put a damn seal in the son of a bitch and put it down the road. No.
Hey, guess what?
Money. All about money.
That axle seal is still dry.
Exactly. But according to them, they had to check it. They would have. You would have ended
up. I bet you.
And once
I put money on it that there it was not in their specs when we put that when we pulled that hub off, put that seal rack in, and put it back together.
They tear it apart. Once they tear it apart in their shop, then they own your ass. Because then they say, well, it's not safe to put back together. They'll call whoever they got to call, and I guarantee you, for it's over with, you're going to end up having to do something stupid or something that wasn't even wrong. Just because it's a money racket.
Well, that's like when I went to Freightliner, and I had some warranty work done. And service my guy came out and he said, "Oh, we did a courtesy check of your truck, and you got radiator fluid leaking by the engine for your APU." I says, "All right, what would it cost me to have you guys replace those hoses? $900. All right." Mm-hmm. I take it to my APU guy, and he said, well, he says, you know, what's funny about that, he goes, if they would have looked at your specs when you ordered a truck, you ordered that with those lines going back to the APU. So if they were leaking up front, it would have been warranty work. It shouldn't have cost you anything. And he said, there wasn't nothing wrong with it. Fucking Freightliner, my own Freightliner, my hometown Freightliner, try to fucking screw me for $900.
See?
You want to do something? You want to do a courtesy thing for me? But open the door and back my shit out in the parking lot. That's what you can do for me if you want to be courteous.
I just couldn't believe it. You go in there and ask them to do something so minor to look at something, they want to charge you $100. You go in there for warranty work, and they give you a whole check, and now they tell you, it was a courtesy check. Why don't you courtesy check it when I come in and need something small looked at?
Motherfucker. I guarantee you there ain't nothing serious wrong with my truck. There is nothing serious wrong with it. I drive it every day up and down the road, do my own work. But I guarantee you, if I took it into Freightliner right now and told them to get and they offered one of courtesy checks on it, next thing you know, they'd be going out finding a pistol shoot yourself right out back to damn shop.
Yeah.
Well, a buddy of mine went to TA, and he wanted to get a inspection, his tractor DOT inspection done. I said, look out. I said, look out. You're going to find something wrong with your truck because they're not just going to give you a safety inspection. And he came back. He says, God, you jinxed me. He says, hell, they wanted $300 to replace a two light bulbs. And they said, well, we can't give you that sticker. He says, well, fine. He goes, what are you going to do about it? I go, you're going to open that door up, and I'm backing out of here.
Yeah. And it's one of them things where if you told them no and said, I'll pull it out, I'll fix it, and I'll bring it back, they're going to make you pay for another inspection.
Right.
You know, I mean, but they won't let you fix it yourself right then and there. Like, I got light bulbs in the door right here. I got extra little light bulbs in the door right here. And they said, nope, you got, you know,
He backed it out of the garage. He backed it out of the garage, and he didn't pay them a fucking dime.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
DA and Petro, you can go up to Freightliner. There can be something wrong with your truck. You can stop at Freightliner and buy the part from Freightliner and take it over to DA. And if they tell you it's bad, then you say, okay, well, I got the parts from Freightliner. They're right here in the truck. You can put them on. Nope, can't do that.
Yep.
We have to buy them.
Right.
They will drive across the street to Freightliner, buy the same damn part that you've got, and bring it over and put it on there because of the markup. They mark the parts up. Now,
mark the parts up and pay for your charge you a trip charge.
Yeah, charge of the trip charge. Yeah, yeah,
we'll charge.
Yeah, we'll charge. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I'm thinking I'm going to start a road service.
Robbie, you need to tell Penny, Robbie, you're moving back east. We'll set that Dodge up for a service truck, man. I'll set it on to the paperwork, and you can run the service truck and go out and start doing service calls.
Why? I don't want to do that.
And I, and I'll pay you $15 an hour.
I think your phone's breaking up. I think your phone's breaking up, Greg. Your phone's breaking up.
Well, hell with you. I'll go get a couple Mexicans. I can get two of them, right? I'd be paying you.
That's fine. Oh, that's
man.
Fine.
What time is
you
it?
You go drive your dump truck.
Hey,
it's a quarter till. You got time. You got 15 minutes.
So this
you got 15 minutes of our lovely voice.
There you go.
Company driver has to go back to go to work.
I got 175 miles on my load this truck, and I'm going to bed for the night. I'm starting to live like the rest of you anymore, man. I'm getting lazy.
Greg has some sort of electronic log on him.
Uh-oh.
Well, it is and it ain't. It's a tablet, but I can change anything on it, just like paper log. I can move anything, do anything I want to do with it.
That's what they all say.
I can move it around. I'll show you.
We're going to get Hey, Greg, there's a truck for sale. I know one of them for sale.
I know where there's one for sale. That's
Freightliner. That's a Freightliner.
Get the ELD bill right in.
Hey. If you got a big enough bank account, you can have this one right here, Robbie. Truck and two trailers. A truck
no.
and two trailers.
I'm figuring out how to get rid of my stuff.
And then you can start your own little trucking company. That way you'd have...
Nope, not going to happen.
You'd have one good truck, one half-ass truck, and four trailers.
Speaking of trucking companies, how's Tiny doing? I haven't heard... Heard he bought a camper, so is he still trucking or is he camping now?
I don't know. I've seen it on Facebook. It's probably been a couple years. I tried calling him one day, and I got his voicemail, left him a message to call me, and he never called me back. It's like he just wrote us off, so that's all good. It's all good. I don't know. I heard him on
Redneck and I, he was getting a major trucking company going, and I haven't heard nothing about that. Last I seen, he bought a camper. I thought, oh, he must have retired.
That was when he was on with Universal, because he told me he got in with some guys over there, some boys over there, Jersey boys over there in Jersey, and they had, like, I don't know, six or seven trucks, and he got into it. He was a proud owner of six or seven trucks, and they was going to set the world on fire, and they was all leased on to Universal. And I said, yeah, good luck with that. Mm. Well, why? I said, because I work for Universal. I said, I'm one told he would check with him, because he wanted to get out of what he was doing. I said, but don't expect to get rich. Next thing I know, he's got seven trucks, and they're just tearing the world up. I said, okay, never heard any more from him. Because he tried to get me to come over and go to work and start hauling for them, and I said, no, that ain't going to happen.
I need to own seven trucks to put fuel in them right now, I tell you that.
Shit. Hell, I'm going to have to go to the bank. Just said you're going to cut the grass. I said, man, you better call the bank and see if you can take out a loan for gas and some mowed grass.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, by next week or the week after, you're going to be cutting that damn grass with the damn weed whacker, because you ain't going to be able to afford gas with the mower.
No, that weed whacker is going to go through gas quicker than that mower.
You're
going to have to get one of those push mowers.
I saw them.
Not the motorized ones.
Control
not the motorized
mower.
Ones. The push behind that has the wheel that cuts the grass that's... One person horsepower.
Get one of them electric Titan lawnmowers. You take one of them electric lawnmowers on a 100-foot extension cord, then you get a generator, and you set it out there on your deck, and you start it up to run your mower.
Well, I saw a remote control one today. I thought it was pretty interesting. Remote control mower.
Yeah. No, they're that, and they're all battery-powered. I mean, they're like those regular batteries you put in drills and stuff. You put, like, three or four of them in a lawnmower, and you got a fully-powered lawnmower.
Yeah, they're green. Yeah.
This
green
remote-control
like
mower had caterpillar tracks on it. It was, I can sit there in my lawn chair, drink a beer, running remote control and mow my grass. What a deal.
Caterpillar tracks. But if it's got anything to do with Caterpillar, it'd be broke down just at the end of the yard.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying it had tracks on it on both sides, like a Caterpillar or something, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, like
it was a Caterpillar brand.
Yeah.
You want something to break, you want a truck to break down, just make the motor black and yellow. It'll break down before you get to the edge of town.
Oh, that's some fighting words right there amongst the law.
Actually, you know what?
I'll give up. I beg to
differ on that one. That dump truck I'm running has a cat in it, and it runs pretty decent.
Yeah, it will.
You're driving a dump truck, Robbie?
Yeah, when I go home.
Yeah,
you're
I can rebuild this for $15,000.
Yep.
Are you doing it as a side job, dump trucking?
Yep. Yep.
That sounds like a deal.
Yeah, see?
Are you hauling rocks or sand?
He went from a dumb truck driver to a dump truck driver.
So I said he was a dump truck driver last week. He's a dump truck driver this week.
Yep.
So we got about...
I tell you what, I am...
What's that? Go ahead.
I'm all right. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. I wouldn't mind doing that myself.
Yeah, there you go. We got about 9 minutes left, and I was going to dive into this one little thing I dug up here on this trucking news. I don't know if anybody's aware of it. I didn't know it until I just saw it. Did you know that all the truckers, the union truckers down there in South Korea, are all on strike for like the seventh day in a row?
Yep. I heard that the other day.
Yeah.
Right. That's the first time. I'm going to have to do some research today.
Yeah. It says the
what
transport.
What are they striking for?
Well, it says here they want higher pay and the crippling cargo transport at countries' industrial hubs and major ports. So it's basically the ports. And, you know, I mean, come on now. South Korea is not that big, so I bet you most of all the truckers are all going to ports. Because, I mean, you can probably drive from one side of the country to the other side of the country in a day, if not, you know, quicker. But it says that the transport ministry, I guess the what they call the DOT, the officials met more than 10 hours with the union leaders on Saturday for the third round of negotiations, urging them to return to work. But the two sides failed to narrow their differences, the ministry said. So it says the union officials said he did not know whether talks would continue. The ministry said it will continue to hold talks with the union without elaborating. They said they didn't elaborate on that. But, I mean, they really what it boils down to, what was the one I saw on here? It talked about how they wanted, it says, we'll rise against, so the fuel prices is soaring. The demanding minimum pay guarantee, so I guess that's a big thing. And of course, you know, you're union, so, you know. And it says some 100 unionized truckers gathered on Sunday at the main gate at the, what is it called? Yeah, okay, it says at enormous Hyundai motor plant, the 100 drivers gathered in front of the entrance, and I guess that's one of the biggest suppliers of jobs in the whole country is Hyundai. Of course, that's the Korean car manufacturer, and there's a lot of these companies. They had to actually just stop shipping because they couldn't they had to stop production because there's so much stuff in the warehouse that it's not shipped, that they can't produce anything because they don't have nowhere to put it. So they had to shut down the plants. So that's what it's like over there right now. Yep. And to me, what it seems that it's not really that bad. Their inflation is a 24-year high at 4.8%. I mean, we're at like 8.7 is what we're at. So they're at 4.8 for a 24-year high. So that's, you know, as far as, you know, comparison, doesn't seem like it's that bad, but I guess they've always had, you know, they've got a kind of a European economy over there where everything's expensive, so you never know. But yeah. So we'll see how that holds out. Not sure. There's a picture that was taken on June 9th. It says they're all the trucks are in one lane, and it's all fuel trucks, all tanker trucks, and they're all in one lane blocking the road. And that was taken on June 9th. So,
yeah.
So, yep.
Everybody wants to talk about their foreign countries. Yo, yeah, they got bigger balls than what we got over here.
Mm-hmm.
All we want to do is go out, drive around, and make a fool out of ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, you know, traffic has not died down since Shield just keeps going up and up and up, and then more cars are coming out of the woodwork, just driving around just to drive around.
Oh yeah, no,
that's what I said.
Yeah, people.
What's it
going
to take to stop them? I don't think $7, $8, $10 a gallon would slow these cars down. I don't know where they're getting their money, but they're getting it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, hell, I'm even like saying, you know. I parked the pickup truck and I only ride the bike because it's better on gas. It's more fun.
I saw an advertisement on TV for Omaha, Nebraska. They opened up a all electric only car dealership, and all they sell are new and used electric cars.
Hmm.
And that's getting to be a new chain of electric car dealership. That's all they do, electric cars.
Well, the big Buc-ee's down here in New Braunfels that I passed by, they have, I bet you that probably is about 30 to 40 plugs for electric vehicles on their back 40 parking lot or front 40.
How many is plugged into it?
I saw maybe two or three, but yeah, there's not very many. Not very many.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that's because not a lot of people travel. I think electric vehicles are more people use them to commute around town. Nobody's taking them on long trips.
What's going to be funny? They got fuel prices sky high now. As soon as they get a bunch of electric cars out, it's going to be the death when they come out. Oh, it's going to be cheap. It's only going to be a dollar or something, you know. It'll be really cheap, you know. Yeah. So they got all the trucks out there and all the cars running it. Then they jack the price up. Well, the electric cars is going to be the same way. As soon as they get the market flooded with electric cars, all these people that's got charging ports is going to jack the price up so high, it's going to cost you probably $50 or $60 to go in there and charge your car up.
Well, not only that, it's all subsidized. Watch. If you're a place that provides that parking for charging your vehicles, the government's probably giving you money for that anyway. You know,
exactly.
So, yeah, and then you can still upcharge it, and still make money.
That's it.
You know, because it's one of those
some charging stations.
Yeah, it's what do they call it? That it's a hostage thing where they get you. As long as they get you, they draw you in with the electric. They can do whatever they want. They can charge whatever they want because now you're stuck.
Yep.
Where are you going to go?
I'm driving southbound on I-25 here in New Mexico. The electric cars pass me on 25 coming out of between Colorado Springs and El Paso that I've ever seen before.
Yeah, I mean, they're out there. People are buying them. I mean, it's probably not a big surge, but you can see they're buying them, especially these banks. I tell you what, it's amazing. You know, if there's some kind of government incentive where you can get some kind of payback or whatever, the bank's going to give you the loan, you know, so it's not going to be, you know, and they know, like, it's one of those things where, you know, they'll keep an eye on you for a year, and as long as you make the payments for the first year, they're pretty much going to let you go. But as soon as you miss a payment, like maybe 2 or 3 months after that, oh man, they're going to get on your ass and they're going to come get that car because they know they can sell it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I got a buddy of mine with the race team, with the sprint car race team. He owns a repo company. He goes, he's more busy right now than he's ever been.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Because people are not paying their bill, and he's going to get cars. And
yep.
I wonder how it's going to work out with race cars. I can't wait till NASCAR and the dirt trackers have to start running electric cars out there. That'll be fun. That's going to look like a big slot car track.
But that's
going to take a while to get rid of all that.
Yeah. Well, not only that, so you're talking about them getting race fuel. Race fuel is expensive, you know, the special high-octane fuel that they need for the race cars.
Ours is high. We run on methanol, but it's still $5 a gallon, and we go through anywhere from 15 to 20 gallons a night.
But what I was going to say was that, you know, when the price goes up on that, what they do is they just charge, you know, they have to increase the prize money. So the prize money has to be increased. Well, that means they've got to charge higher price for the tickets. As long as people keep showing up, They're going to keep running. It ain't going to be a thing because, I mean,
you
that's
got
the
a good idea there. I make yourself a big card for racing. They just create a new complete fad and be a millionaire right there.
Yeah.
Electric race cars. Electric race. You're racing. Yeah.
Good deal. Well,
all right.
I think it's going to work.
Time for you to go. I'm going in here and get me a cup of coffee, and I'm heading for Georgia.
There you go.
I will.
Are you back?
What?
Are you back on every day again, Ed?
Yeah, it's every weekday. So we're just going weekday. So I'm going to be doing Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday and Friday, and then Tiff will be on Wednesday, and that'll be the show.
No more.
Not on
You're
Sundays.
Not doing Sundays no more.
No, that's just it's a whole lot easier to be doing this right before work like this, and then that way I get my weekends off. So.
All right.
Oh yeah,
good
idea. That'd be a shame to have that scooter set for a day, huh?
Exactly. It is really a shame. I mean, because you know, I'm fixing to get on it right now and go to work, and then like I said, like here down here now, it's 85 degrees when the sun goes down, so I'm out riding at night now. So.
All right, I'll talk to y'all tomorrow, maybe.
All right, good deal.
All right.
All right. Have a good night.
Good deal. Awesome. Yeah, appreciate everybody joining in and talking. That was a great conversation. So let everybody know we're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Like I said, I will be here on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, 1 hour, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 515-602-9731. And then Tiffany, Women of Redneck and Eyes, will be here on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can call in, same number, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining that. And like I said, don't forget our great sponsors. First, sponsor DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com, and also Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, and Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Appreciate everybody supporting us. Don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. We got links to all of our social media accounts and YouTube. I appreciate everybody subscribing to YouTube. That's been a great thing for us going, and we continue to make that better. And as soon as we get, you know, more things rolling and more ideas going, let everybody know I'll be at the Texas Truck Show in Houston, Texas on June 25th and 26th. That's not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday is the 25th of June, and they'll be there at the NRG Center next to the Reliant Stadium in down by Houston where the Texans play. So check that out at the texastruckingshow.com. You can check that out, and I'll be there for that, and I hope to see people come down. You know, let's take some video, talk a bit, maybe even do some live radio chat there. So check it out. So until next time, everybody, stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Lord thinks he's cool. One of these days I'm going to blow my top, and that sucker, he's going to pay. Lord, I can't wait to see their faces when I get the nerve to say, take this job and shove it.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and eyes.